7:04 RC Country Time, not just toys for big boys and girls. It's for the whole family, 6011 Folsom Boulevard in Sacramento. Sam Amick will join us at 8:05. Chris Landry at 7:30. A little football, a little basketball. We also have the NFL Rules Committee, what their proposals are from different teams. That's going to be coming up at the meetings next week, and we'll tell you what those are. Hey, is Matt George, is our boss in there? Is Kevin in there? All right. I just want to say this publicly. I'm all for promos and everything, but we gotta kill this promo. We gotta kill this promo. There's the Grant and Doug promo that's been running for this show for a while now. Roll tape on this real quick, because it scares me.
Man, just he's going.
My guy Doug. They make my guy Doug sound. He's like a mad scientist. and like the first couple
with
times
a laugh
heard,
like that, you guys give me so much crap, and that just shows how sexist you are.
I assure you, if Doug was on this show, we would 100% not crack on him because he was a Sacramento King. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, my God.
If you were a former professional athlete, Katie, we'd leave you alone.
Oh, I stepped on you. So, damn it.
This is my favorite part, you guys.
Yeah.
This happens all the time at the arena. You know where I sit at the arena, kind of in that tunnel as people go in and out of the Lexus
Club? Yeah, you've got a little nook over there.
She does.
Yeah, this lady, and people always mistake me as having played for the Monarchs, and it's like, no, I did not play for the Monarchs, but great to know. So this woman goes by and she's like, go Monarchs, and I'm like, she must have been a really big fan because I never played for them.
Yeah, you're tall.
Why don't you just own it? Why don't you just own it and say, yeah, I did. Yeah, I played for the Monarchs. I played for the Monarchs.
I just smile. I don't say anything.
That's not true.
That is true.
Just you know. I say,
what are you doing, Dave? You're looking for something. You're looking for something. I know you are.
I'm sorry.
I hate you.
I mean, you got Doug's laugh, and you have.
Okay.
I like your laugh, Katie.
The Doug laugh.
Yeah.
I'm going to step in front of him here because that is exactly what I sound like during the fourth quarter of most Kings games.
Just
maniacal.
Pulling your intestines out, kind of, and looking at them in your hands. Kind of laugh. That's what it's going to be tonight.
Oh, my God.
Not just you, Kate. Hey, it's Friday. Screw it. Which do you guys want? You want Charles Barkley saying to Dan Patrick that he would like to kill Skip Bayless, or LeVar Ball versus Stephen A.
First
Smith
one.
In a Yell Fest? Okay.
Charles.
Really?
Here's Charles Barkley saying what he'd like to do for ratings for Dan Patrick.
Hold on. Can you go back just a second?
Yes.
Because Dan didn't hesitate. Not for one.
No,
I like it.
Not at all.
No.
Yep.
There was no, I mean, he was, I like it.
No, he didn't hesitate. Let me see if I can find this here.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny you said that because I've got the video in front of me. So you hear Dan, and Dan sounds good. Yeah, I like it. What you didn't see, and I didn't notice this till you pointed out, Nate, is he says, why don't we bring Skip Bayless in here? And, like, Dan shoots up in his chair and says, and then I'll kill him. And Dan, like, opens his eyes real wide. But then all you hear is, I like it.
I like it.
Yeah, so. Go ahead.
Chuck has now said, and we just you know, ripped Matt Barnes for saying he wanted to kill the Kings and saying it was a poor choice of words.
Yes.
So Charles Barkley, who, by the way, I consider a friend, so this pains me to say this.
You dropped something.
What?
That name.
But no, I feel like I have to say it because we talk about
I
it.
Know.
All, you know, when
I
we
know.
Talk about him,
it's
I always
fair.
Stand in front of him. But
I dropped Drake's name earlier. We're on the
I
same
know,
team here.
But shut up. But there, I'm trying to make a point
yes,
here.
Yes, ma'am.
We just ripped Matt Barnes for saying that he wanted to kill the Kings. It is not okay for him first to say that he'd like to kill Skip Bayless. It's okay to say you hate him, like, whatever. Like, come on now. It's no different, Chuck, saying that than Matt Barnes saying he wants to kill the Kings.
I mean, just one guy as opposed to mass murder.
Yeah, and Skip Bayless isn't a lovable loser
and then,
team
and
that
then, you
almost
know what,
left for Seattle.
You know what put it over the top for me?
What? Pay-per-view?
What did he say?
Who, it? Charles?
Yes.
What put it over the? What did
he
Charles
brought,
say?
That he brought dogs into it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Beat him like
Beat
a dog.
Beat him like a dog.
Ooh, that's
yeah,
a great
I didn't
point.
Think about that.
I didn't either. Yeah. That's what
insensitive.
Would you,
yes. On line one.
Get out of here with that. But that's like, you know what? But there's things. See, that's the thing. It just matters what people want to talk about. Like, yes, if you break that down like you just did, Katie, beat him like a dog. Are you advocating animal abuse? That just hasn't gotten on the correct train yet. Much like I always like to bring up wife beaters.
It's still not cool to beat your dog.
It's not. But beat you like a dog, nobody notices.
Yeah.
That's just accepted. Just like, oh, hey, you're wearing that tank top T-shirt. Oh, is that your wife beater? Hold on a second.
Right, yeah, wait a minute.
What?
Yeah.
What are we saying here? So I wear this shirt that beat women? Wait, why is that okay? But it's okay. It's perfectly fine.
I mean, it's not like there's not different contexts also to Charles Barkley saying something as opposed to Matt Barnes.
Yes.
You know, Chuck has a reputation for saying things tongue-in-cheek and being full of crap.
And Charles Barkley has never had issues with fights at clubs before.
Well, other than throwing the dude through the window, right? Was that the only one?
It can't have been the only one. No, it can't have been.
But
Charles has had issues.
But really, this is... It's easy to...
He's a lovable buffoon.
Right.
That's the difference.
And it's easy to knock him for just being a loudmouth, but at the same time, he's cultivated this context through his personality over the course of the last decade and a half that allows him to say things like that, and we're not going, was he really going to kill Skip Bayless?
My favorite thing is, though, because we talked about having the LeVar Ball, Stephen A. Smith thing, you know, like, obviously, I don't know why some people hate Skip Bayless. I'm kind of indifferent to it, whatever.
He's a wiener.
I don't like Stephen A. Smith. I ran into him in the hotel when we were at Super Bowl, and he said some remarks to me, and I was just kind of like,
man. Did he say you were tall, or did he say you were thick? I couldn't remember.
He said
tall.
That it was
tall.
Going to be hard to find somebody that would be taller than me as a woman. Like, it was like a...
What was the quote? Do you remember the quote?
I don't remember it specifically, but
Katie,
it was basically along those lines.
Yeah.
It was like he was trying to say something to me. You know how like people try to pay a compliment
right.
in a weird roundabout way? That's what he was basically trying to do. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Now, Stephen A. is low-key tall, too. So, I mean, is he...
Yeah, he's a little bit shorter than me.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I know that he's tall, but if he was... It's also a little different if he's taller than you and he's saying that, right?
Good point.
Yeah, and like he's a little bit smaller than me, okay. So I'm sure that's probably where it was coming from. But, you know, like, I don't like him. The point being, like, I'm not a fan of his. Yesterday, I'm like, I think I really like this guy now. One thing made me change my mind.
Yeah, LeVar Ball.
Nobody has stood up to LeVar Ball, and he let him have it.
Why is Charles Barkley a lovable buffoon and LeVar Ball is not? Is it because Charles has earned it? Because he's done things?
Yeah.
And LeVar Ball hasn't?
We have decades of context with Charles Barkley's personality.
Yeah, but he's also, you can talk trash and kind of puff your own chest up, but LeVar Ball is cashing paychecks or writing checks that his sons have to cash. I believe one of the guys on that show said it that way yesterday, and it's the perfect way to put it. He is talking and running his mouth, and he's putting his kids in the position where they're the ones that have to live up to it.
Text line checks in. Katie, I have a friend of mine who is 7'1" and black, and we were in Florida at the Tampa Mall on the way in. An older, short, white woman looked up at him and said, wow, you're tall. You must play basketball. And he just looked down at her and said, wow, you're short and white. You must play tennis.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll break. Three for Madness is next. We'll talk about Matt Barnes' comments, Ty Lawson as well, and the Final Four this weekend. We'll weigh in on that. Three for next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHCK.
All righty.
Hey, Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. How's it going?
You just pause for effect, don't you?
I do. It's dramatic.
Yeah.
I just want the music to hit hard.
Yay.
Mostly just because I don't want to read this first question because it makes a shame to my name. But do you have a problem with the comments that Matt Barnes said? Because that's how it was written, right?
About the Kings.
Well done, Matt George.
Hey, thanks.
And
Carmichael, Dave.
Never trust a guy with two first names. Yo, or Ness.
Yo, what?
I'm in a Christensen here.
Yo.
I'm on the fence here.
Oh, man.
I am.
Did you say yo and Ness? At least I say the actual word.
I was combining yes and no. I don't have a... That is Matt Barnes. That's his role. That's what he does. We just talked yesterday about how he would have knocked Jason Terry into the fourth row for the antics Jason was putting on the other night against the Kings, and that's great. But then he goes to this other team. He's like, yeah, man, I want to kill him. They're the enemy now. I have a feeling if you asked him that about every other team in the NBA, he'd probably feel similar. But at the same time, Matt, they're paying you $2+ million a year for the next year or two. You don't have to go overboard. And by the way, it's not like you just tripped and fell and Vlade released you. There were reasons behind it that you did. And I know you always are the victim. You're always in the wrong place at the wrong time. At some point, you know, you're just kind of a schlock.
Well, Dave, welcome to the fence, which is where I preside most of the time. And this is unfortunately no different.
It smells good.
I'll explain. You explained very well why we shouldn't have a problem with it. And I agree 100% with you. Like he feels the same about every single team. However, I don't necessarily think that this is something that you have to voice, but he was answering a question. Here's where I do take issue with it. He's played for Dave Yeager for years. They have a very close relationship. Also, Garrett Temple, that sit-down interview that I did with him for Comcast, one of the things that was part of it that did not air is him saying that Matt Barnes and DeMarcus Cousins are two of the best teammates that he's ever had. And so I'm sitting here saying, you played with all of these guys and you had a personal relationship with them that extended off the court, and you want to turn around and say those things. I don't think the words that he used were appropriate. I don't think that it's appropriate for him to feel that way, but I understand because they should be the enemy to him because he doesn't play for this team anymore.
This is just Matt Barnes in a nutshell, though. What do you get out of punching downwards? Honestly, you're on the Warriors now. You've got the you've got the inside track to an NBA title because the Kings let you go. I mean, it's one thing if you're on the Kings.
It's a gift, man.
If you're on the Kings and you're throwing punches at everyone trying to get noticed, little guy go for the biggest guy in the prison, right? But you're the big guy now. Like, you don't. I don't know, man. But anyway, the point is, I don't have to worry about Matt Barnes' baggage anymore, so I'm not going to.
Should the Sacramento Kings allow Ty Lawson to finish out the season with his court date looming?
I don't think they really have a choice. I think this is an easy yes, because if the court date was not postponed and the original date of March 22nd, if he went into court and he was found guilty of the allegations of violating his probation by testing positive for alcohol and not completing his, you know, community service and therapy that he was supposed to go through, you cannot, as a team or as an employer for anybody, you cannot punish somebody before it plays out in the legal system. So kudos to Ty Lawson for having a great lawyer and being able to get this postponed until after the season ends. But I don't think that he has understood how his actions and the allegations against him can hurt him long term. I don't know if another NBA team, including the Kings, takes a gamble on him.
No, they probably shouldn't have signed him in the first place. But you're absolutely right, Katie. I don't know that they do have a choice until something is decided in the court. You kind of just have to
call
wait
it out,
union. I would believe. Yeah, now that he is on your roster, you're kind of stuck. You kind of got to wait it out.
If I'm in charge of the Sacramento Kings, Ty Lawson's done for the year, and here's exactly what I do. I go to Ty and I say, hey, listen, we need to make a statement here. We're going to make a statement. If you want to fight it, that's fine. We're going to plead our case. And I think if the Kings pled their case publicly, I think the Kings would have a few legs to stand on with Ty Lawson. A couple of incidents this year, one we know about, the missed flight to Kentucky, stuff like that. I think it would get very ugly. What you do is you say, hey, character counts. We're going to be done with this, take the rest of the year off with pay, and we're going to publicly just say, we're going to let Ty Lawson handle his business. He's now shut down for the season. We're going to pay him. Everyone's happy, and I don't think Ty Lawson's really going to put up a stink. I think that's the right move. It's the right message to send.
I think the players' union would get involved, but I think you're right, Dave. I think there's probably a number of things that haven't been reported that people are unaware of, that they would have grounds to do that.
Let the players' union get involved, and ultimately, I don't think they would. I think they'd make a phone call, and it would be a quick phone call, and they'd be like, all right, I'm cool, and then that would be it. We'll see.
Come Monday, who is in your Final Four?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, UCLA has to be there. Oh, dang it. Let me look at this. No, I know.
Yeah, you normally rip me for the same thing.
For what? No, I mean, what?
It was on the rundown, Katie.
I'll skip. I'll go ahead and give it some time since we're running out. I'm going to go with North Carolina. Okay, I'm going to go with, let's see. You know what I'm afraid of is I'm going to pick somebody in the same bracket.
That was my problem. I've got, okay, here we go. I'm ready to do it. Kansas, UCLA.
You don't want to say Gonzaga, but you're going to.
Yeah, let's go with them. And then how about Wisconsin? Bring it,
Dang
Wisconsin.
It. Dang it.
Yeah, I actually have the I have the exact same.
So do I. This is not fun.
It's not fun at all. No, I have Kansas.
Kansas and UCLA I had right from the get, so that was easy. I'm looking at my filled out bracket. Ones. It's there.
But golly, you guys, North Carolina, everyone's sleeping on them. Everyone is sleeping on North Carolina. I don't know.
Do you
know.
Think people are sleeping on South Carolina?
No, I mean,
because again, another kind of team that's flown under the radar and just has advanced as a 7 seed every round and done a really good job. And now they face Baylor, who I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to be able to come out of that one.
Gonzaga is in the bottom, you know, in the West, and they're the 1 seed that's left. It's easy to see them coming out of there. Kansas, top right, they're going to take on Oregon. Easy to see them coming out of there. What's really screwy, because you've got North Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, and Butler that are all in that bottom right by the South.
The South.
Yeah. I'm going to switch. I'm switching off UCLA, even though I originally picked them. I'm going to go with North Carolina on the bottom right.
I think we could potentially see a 7-8 matchup in the Final Four between Wisconsin and South Carolina.
That's
you guys.
What's interesting is you can't because they're in the same bracket. But
no, they.
Yeah,
they
South Carolina was in the Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight, bad.
That's where the screwy thing is the East, because you've got Wisconsin, Florida, Baylor, or South Carolina. One of those four teams is going to be a Final Four team, which is just goofy as all hell. But that's what's great about the tournament. That UCLA-Kentucky game, my goodness gracious. But don't we all know, guys, isn't UCLA
God,
just
I
gonna,
wish I could watch that.
UCLA is going to win the whole thing. Doesn't that make sense that they're going to win the whole thing?
That's what I picked.
And Lonzo Ball is going to have 53 points and 12 assists in the final game.
You know, you guys, we've talked so much, and this is a sad thing about LeVar Ball and what he's doing. He has made it such a conversation, but UCLA was 15-17 last year. Lonzo Ball is a hell of a player.
Yes, he is, and we'll talk about that more later. Chris Landry's standing by. He's going to join us next. We'll also have the Rules Committee rule changes being proposed next week down in Phoenix. We'll do a little football next half hour. Join us, won't you? 4 minutes away in the drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. If you haven't yet, go to KHDK.com. Go to the big gray logo there, the 80s Ballad Bracket Challenge, or battle, if you want to call it that. You have an opportunity to win Disneyland tickets, signed basketballs, phone chargers, and an 80s prize pack that's got a mullet wig, a Monster Ballad CD, some 80s candy. I bought it myself.
Wait,
I
put, 80s candy?
Yeah, like Now and Later's, Lemonheads,
okay.
Nerds.
Do you remember those like chalky things? What were those?
Smarties?
Smarties?
Like no, the- it... I don't know. It came in like a tube. They were little square, chalky candies.
Square or circles?
Square. They weren't Now and Laters.
No, because the circles that came in a little tube, those are Smarties, and they're chalky.
It's not Smarties. Yeah, no, it was like it wasn't even like really sweet. I don't know. It was God. I wish I could remember
you're
what they were.
You're throwing me because you're literally
they were
describing
disgusting.
Smarties.
No, I know they're not Smarties. I like Smarties. They were big, kind of square, chunky, chalky. Are they came in like a almost like a what's the paper that you use to cook? Like that wax paper? Yeah.
Parchment paper?
No, not like, parchment. It was like a wax paper.
It's not like, you're not talking about taffy, obviously, right?
No, not taffy.
Mambas.
But anyway, there was some really bad 80s candy.
Mambas are like generic Starburst to me.
Do you remember the Abracadabra?
Yeah. Abba Zabba?
Is that what it was?
Well, are we sure that Katie didn't just eat pool chalk?
That's what I'm wondering, because she grew up on a farm. Like, maybe they had their own, like, farm candy
well,
that we don't
guys,
know about.
I am talking about candy that I bought at the Likely General store.
Right.
Yeah. Likely California. So it might have actually been from the 40s.
Make sure you get to KHDK.com. Somebody's going to text in, Katie, and try to help you out.
Yeah.
Get to KHDK.com. Enter in the 80s bracket. You have about another hour, a little less than an hour left. All you got to do is pick a winner. What song you think is going to make it through? The voting starts later today. We'll run this over the next week or two till we get a champion, the greatest 80s ballad of all time. Pick it, and you and whoever else picks right will be in a drawing to win fun and prizes. Somebody's saying Pez, Charleston Chew, Now and Laters, Nico Wafers or Necco Wafers.
Those were round, though.
Those were round. Rocky Road. Shut up, whoever that was.
It might have been. It might have been circles, you guys. I just know it was big. I know it's not Smarties.
They could be Necco Wafers. Were they rainbow colored?
Will you Google image Smarties and just let's make sure? Because
Dave, I know what Smarties
okay,
are.
Okay, because everything
love
you're saying is Necco exactly describing a Smartie, except
wafers.
That you know. I mean, I believe you.
Okay, there we go. Necco wafers.
Also,
that's what they were.
Necco wafers?
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. I liked the chocolate ones.
Never had a Necco. Those
were so gross. I don't like them.
Oh, yeah.
Is Chris ready?
Yeah, he was ready the whole time.
I was stalling for Chris. Has he been listening to this? Oh, poor Chris Landry.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Hey, Chris, we'll bring him right in. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, did you have a particular candy growing up that you loved?
No, not really. I was a deprived kid. We didn't have candies when I was growing up. You know, we had to walk backwards through snow up a hill, and they didn't allow us candy. Really, you know, maybe, you know, just right. No, not really.
We are going to be down at the NFL meetings next week because it is conveniently right next to spring training. And obviously the top thing on the docket, and Chris, I know we generally talk about players and X's and O's with you, but I know you can talk about anything football related. Are you hearing the same thing we're hearing, that it's almost at this point a foregone conclusion that the Raiders relocation will be approved next week?
Yes, because, you know, there's no other option. I mean, there's not been any movement at any point in time from the Bay Area to try to keep the Raiders. I mean, there's maybe been some lip service about ideas, but not even anything for them to consider. And there's really no other consideration other than to stay in a quite frankly bad situation. I can't speak for everyone, but I certainly, as an old time football guy, just hate the thought of, you know, not having the Oakland Raiders. That's just there's really not anything any other option out there, and there certainly is one in Las Vegas. I think there's some resistance to it by some owners, but they realize now there's really no other option. And when money's involved, money always wins. And I think who the owner is and how they structure it's important. But, you know, I say this, even if this falls through, what are the other options? Where are the, you know, where's the plan in Oakland or in anything in that Bay Area to keep them? I mean, there is none. It's not like, you know, San Diego trying to do something to keep the Chargers, or St. Louis putting a plan together to keep the Rams, which was never going to happen, but at least they tried. There's really nothing in the works and hasn't been through this whole process.
You know, and there's precedent for this when you talk about the Baltimore Colts that went to Indianapolis, then Baltimore gets a team with the Ravens, also Cleveland leaving and them getting an expansion team. One thing that I've heard that really kind of put me back on my heels is that one of the things that is attractive to NFL owners, if the Raiders do leave, is that they will be able to use Oakland as kind of a bait city, much like they used L.A. for years, to get other teams the better ability to get their own stadiums. We've seen this a lot in the NBA. Now, Chris, I know I can pretty much think any other city that lost their NFL team would thirst and salivate over a replacement team. But the thought process would be, if they were going to do that in Oakland, Mark Davis has taken the Raiders to Vegas. I got a feeling most Oakland NFL fans would rather have no team than have an NFL team there that's not named the Raiders.
Well, right. I don't think there. I mean, Oakland's not a. I mean, they're not a viable city for an NFL team, or else they would be doing something to keep them. So no, they're not. Oakland won't be able to be used as bait. Those other cities or had viable opportunities and put things together. It took a while for Baltimore to get into that mix, but, you know, Houston as an example, turn right around, and I was part of that. We left Houston, and, you know, it was a problem between the mayor and the owner, and, Oakland, you know, certainly the whole Silicon Valley is very intriguing, but there's, you know, apparently no money in the city, no interest level. If they're not willing to do it, because I can tell you they would Mark Davis, the league, would prefer to stay in the Oakland area. Oakland loses the Raiders, they're not seeing another team. You can close the door on that. I mean, there is no chance of that.
Well, see, Chris, I think that's kind of an interesting statement by you, because when you look at the size of the market, it is bigger and it is more lucrative than Las Vegas. You know, we're not talking about Los Angeles here. It's better than Las Vegas. It's better than San Diego. San Diego obviously had a team there for years. So to me, this is I can't figure out if it's because there isn't enough money in Oakland, which just is kind of mind blowing to me, or if if it really comes down to the fact that there hasn't been opposition that have been able to come up with a viable plan. And I don't know if Mayor Libby Schaaf really cares one way or the other if the Raiders are there or not.
Right. And listen, there's always a chance somebody else gets voted into office, and you know there's money in the whole Silicon Valley. I mean, there's money, but just because there's money, you know, apparently there's no one interest in putting it in football, which is what we're talking about. So now I don't see it happening. I think it's it would be unfortunate, but to me, I think the league anyway looks at Oakland as, you know, the Raider city, not a, yeah, we're going to go there. Certainly there'll be leverage, but there'll be leverage from other cities. But I don't see Oakland being, now listen, they're not above using leverage anywhere, anytime. But, you know, in terms of, I'm just saying, in terms of the people that think, well, we're not going to fool with the Raiders, we'll get another team. I mean, I think that is a pipe dream.
Chris Landry's with us on the drive. Chris, the quarterback market this offseason has been kind of nuts, and putting Mike Glennon aside as getting $15 million to be a starter, let's talk about the backup market. Geno Smith got a job. You're hearing talks that the Saints might be interested in at least contacting Johnny Manziel, Josh McCown, you know, some of these names out there. Colin Kaepernick, of course, has not gotten a call from anyone, and we know the political elements that go into that. But putting that aside, he showed a big statistical improvement under Chip Kelly, especially in the final couple of games of the season. In what you've been able to see, is there truth to the idea out there that he is simply not good enough to even be a backup in the NFL?
No, I think he's capable of being a backup. The problem is he is a backup that you'd have to probably change your offense for. Well, who's going to change your offense for a backup quarterback? I think he would make sense in Carolina as a backup to Cam Newton.
What about Seattle?
No, I don't necessarily see that. I wouldn't close the door on it, but I think there are better options out there. But yeah, I think people are making more out of this than it's really there. First of all, Johnny Manziel's not being pursued by the Saints. Jay Cutler's still out there. I know Geno Smith got a job. There's a lot of players that are going to get jobs that don't have one yet. The market in free agency, as it always is after that first week, is at that point it's a buyer's market. So, you know, these folks are really not a priority that are out there right now, and as they fill needs or don't through the draft, then they'll kind of filter in with those guys. I expect Colin Kaepernick to be on a roster, but I don't think he's a difference maker, and I would reject him at least as a passer just on a pure football standpoint. Now, am I saying that there are people in the league that are, you know, were not offended by that? Yeah, I think that by his whole situation, I personally was not.
It's no secret that didn't sit well with a lot of NFL.
Well, yeah,
front
but
offices.
You know, the point is, and I made this point: if Aaron Rodgers went down and took a knee on the 50-yard line and draped himself in a North Korean flag, 32 teams would want to hire him.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right. It is about football. I mean, you're dealing with a guy that's not that big of a deal football-wise as people want to make them. And why deal with the headache? Why deal with the circus of a Tim Tebow when he's not that good of a football player? That's the point. If it's strictly, you know, football, he was a better passer, he'd have a job. I don't care what he did. I mean, why does, you know, look, Ray Rice didn't find a job. We know why. Okay, Zeke Elliott has got a job, okay? And we don't have a video to kind of show what happened. Bottom line is Zeke Elliott's going to have a job in the league. He's a great running back. Ray Rice is not a great running back anymore. So there's a saying, and there's some lines you can't cross. I mean, legally, and, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know, overcome certain things. But for the most part, you know, there's a saying in this league: it's problem versus production. When the production is much greater than the problem, you deal with the problem because the production is worthwhile. When the problem is greater than the production, Well, then what's the headache for? So my point is, you know, to me, Colin Kaepernick wouldn't be a headache off the field. My owner didn't want him, you know, nothing I could do. But there's no football people in the league going to their owner saying, man, we really could use this guy. This guy could really help us. None. I mean, it's you know, no one's really discussing Colin Kaepernick in football. I mean, it's not as good as people think. Yes, he was a quarterback on a team that went to a Super Bowl. But it wasn't mainly him, okay? It was very unlike other, you know, quarterbacks. I think he has some talent. I think he's deficient as a passer, significantly. But I think he has a role for certain offenses. And I said the one that is the best fit would be Carolina. Now, that's a case where that owner might not want him. And that could be a case where you can say, you know what, he might be a help as a backup there, and maybe the owner doesn't want him. I'm not saying he does or doesn't. I'm just saying that, you know, he wouldn't be as, you know, as good of a football fit as people are making it out to be.
Chris Landry joining us this morning on KHTK. Now, Chris, I find that interesting what you said. You said the problem versus production part. The reality of the matter is whether or not Colin Kaepernick is a starting quarterback in this league, if he has that talent, if the league's changed too much to where it doesn't really fit him. I mean, you've got Jim Harbaugh who is endorsing him and doesn't have to at this point. So that says something. But I know for a fact he's better than Geno Smith. And I have a sneaky suspicion that even Johnny Manziel is going to have a job in the NFL this season, which is crazy to me as well. So you say problem versus production, but then at the same time, he could be a backup quarterback in this league and a pretty solid one at that if someone were to go down, more than most backup quarterbacks in this league. So really, to me, it all comes down to the fact that owners are scared over the whole protest.
Well, I can't speak for that. I don't know if they are or not. Jay Cutler doesn't have a job, but he's certainly a better passer and a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. The whole Geno Smith hasn't played a lot of football. Some people think he has potential. I don't agree. Johnny Manziel's not going to be playing football this year. Okay, so, you know, again, if we're having this discussion in August and he doesn't have a job, it's a story. It's not a story right now. I mean,
right.
I know it's, you know, people want to make it one. It's not a story in football.
Chris Landry joining us. Last thing for you, Chris. When you look at these mock drafts, you got to get a Niners question.
Which I don't. Which is a complete waste of time.
The difference between and the difference between you and me is that I'm stupid enough to where I need to rely on other people to tell me who's going where, but then I'm always disappointed because half of it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Now I see Solomon Thomas popping up on a lot of these drafts for the 49ers at number two, and that's about the fourth or fifth guy, whether Trubisky, Watson, or anyone else, even Leonard Fournette in one that I've seen. Could you see the 49ers taking a third Pac-12 defensive lineman in a row in 3 years?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at my website. He's the third best player on my board. You know, all these mock drafts, these are not people that are football people or scouts. They're just, you know, what they hear, the latest, you know, throw something out there and
right.
Let's get more clicks today. Two best players in the draft, in my opinion, are Myles Garrett and Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen has, in some teams' eyes, some medical problems with their shoulders. So if you're one of those, to me, Solomon Thomas is in the mix of, you know, third best player in the draft. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The top of this draft is not as strong as most years. So, you know, Solomon Thomas, even Myles Garrett, probably third, fourth, fifth best players in most drafts. That's not most drafts. This is this draft. We can't draft anything other than what's available. So I absolutely could see it. Defensive line, you can never have enough of those guys. And I think that's a great way to build a defense. There's some really good players in the secondary, but you're going to see some safeties and corners go really high that in normal years wouldn't go as high. Why? You don't have the elite quarterback. You don't have the elite tackle. You know, you've got a couple of good receivers, but not the elite one. So I absolutely could see it in this draft, him going to. It would make a lot of sense. Would it make the most sense? That's debatable, but I think he's an outstanding player in this draft.
Chris, as always, let everybody know where they can read. And I'm on LandryFootball.com right now. All your different grades, your horizontal draft, everything that's going on.
Well, we got, and of course, we got a discount. We sent it out to you guys that we decided to put something special up for folks as they're getting excited about the draft. 50% off if they sign up between now and before April 1st. Use the code NFL Draft. We've got the horizontal draft board is the top overall players. We've got all the first round grades up. We're working on the second round grades for everyone, and we've got all the draft boards up. We're putting the scouting reports with them. We've got all the positional draft boards. So it's not like the typical stuff that you read where you have the top five guys at a position. Well, what good does that do if it doesn't tell you how many of those guys are immediate starters, potential starters, and whatnot? So we separate it for you so you know where the value is, not, you know, just projecting where they're going to go, which doesn't mean a whole lot. It's about how good are they and what can they do at the next level. So check it out. Follow us on Twitter at Landry Football for all the latest. We think you'll love it. But remember, the code NFL Draft will get you the big discount, 50% off, but you got to get it done before April Fool's Day.
Always appreciate your time, Chris.
Have a good weekend, guys. Right. Take care.
You too,
take
Chris. Care.
Bye-bye.
Chris Landry, check that out at LandryFootball.com. Before we break and get to Sam Amick next, want to remind you, you know, last weekend you had the big college basketball out at Golden One Center. There's still some basketball going on
basketball.
This week. The big, the March Madness.
Yeah, the real yeah. big one.
You've got the local games going on. I should say local, statewide, including not just Wood Creek and Bishop Montgomery. You've also got McClatchy, the girls versus Windward in L.A. Now, here's the thing. So we know McClatchy. McClatchy, just so you know, here's some sample alumnuses from McClatchy. You've got Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. All right. You've got California Chief Justice Tani Cantil. I can't say her last name. I'm reading this. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, the late, great Bob Matsui, former congressman, and Joan Didion, the author. So McClatchy's a historic school. Here's my point. Windward coming in here, 2 miles from the beach, right next to UCLA. The cost to attend Windward is $37,245 a year.
This is high school?
High school, 37 grand a year.
What division is this?
This is Division One. So the McClatchy girls are taking
How many of those kids on that roster you think pay their tuition?
None.
As opposed to their parents? Oh, you're talking scholarships.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
See, this is crazy, though, for Division One in California, because we were in Division Five, and it's all private schools, and it was all people that were under scholarship.
Well, that's the way it used to be, Katie. Now Modoc is in, like, Division Six or something. They even have, like, Division Seven for some
that's
of those smaller
crazy.
Schools.
To your point about scholarships, 72% of the teachers at Windward have master's degrees. And the percentage of students in 2015 that went on to attend four-year colleges?
99.9.
100%.
Yeah.
So you've got stinky, snotty, snobby, cheaty Windward with their scholarships. They're bribing these players against our girls, the McClatchy Lions. So go out there and beat some ass, McClatchy. Do that Friday. That's tonight, 6 p.m. And you can see it also on Comcast. But go out there and cheer on the McClatchy girls and also
Friday
the Wood Creek
is
boys.
Tonight.
That's right. Yeah. I said Friday, and then I said tonight.
No, you're right. It absolutely is tonight.
Wood Creek takes on Bishop Montgomery tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Comcast. You going to say something, Nate? I'm sorry? Oh, okay. We'll take a break. Come back with Sam. Sam Amick, USA Today on the Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.